Dennis, we're starting a new thread. We're going to have a 2-hour show, so we started a fresh thread for this.
Nice. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Fantastic. I truly appreciate the energy.
Me too. I've been wanting to talk to y'all for a minute.
Hopefully we'll have follow-up conversations, because there are a number of things we have going on.
Okay, stop. We're live.
Well, I'm so excited. So excited to share with the community.
Okay, Harry, I could go? You want me to go? All right, good morning. I'm Babs Rose Ivy. Welcome to the second hour of Love Babs Love Talk. As I said to you in the first hour, I'm so excited to have the folks with Makehaven on. I've got J.R. Logan, who is the co-founder and executive director of Mark Makehaven, a nonprofit makerspace and fab lab in New Haven. I love it over there. J.R. has a history of nonprofit leadership at United Way in New Haven, and he currently serves on the board of the Eli Whitney Museum. He's been involved in local environmental initiatives and is an advocate for urban river restoration and pedestrian access. He has a master's degree in public affairs from the School of Public and Environmental Affairs at Indiana University with a focus on nonprofit management. Mr. Jay Johnson, I don't know anything about you because you didn't send me your bio.
So I'm actually just kind of getting set up with my email and whatnot. So I had some technical set-asides. My apologies. I'm an Army retiree. I retired military police veteran, and I had some logistical experience with that. So that pretty much sums up my life in a nice little cluster.
Well, thank you. So welcome, Makehaven people. So tell me, J.R. Logan, how did Makehaven become Makehaven? Did you wake up one day and say, you know what, we need a place where people can make stuff?
Sure. Well, I think there's a lot of people who are interested in something like this in the community, and a bunch of conversations happened. For me, the set of conversations where I was doing a meetup while I was at United Way about technology, social change, how's it going to impact nonprofits. We were getting together. People started bringing 3D printers, and that evolved into conversations of like, well, would it be cool to have a place to put the 3D printers? And other cities had these cool things called makerspaces getting started up. This was 10 years ago. And there was a crew of people, and they said they'd throw in some money and see where it went. And that's how we got started.
And that's the cool thing about this town. I'm telling you, New Haven is a very good incubator. When people have an idea, you can stand on any corner in this town and say, you know what, I have an idea. And then 50 people were like, you know what, I support that.
Yeah. No, and for a long time we've had people who saw the vision and the enthusiasm well before what it is today, people invested in the idea.
I like it because it's not too dissimilar. I think it goes one further than what the library is doing with the Ives Square space, right? Like you could go over there and make stuff too, but what y'all are doing is like, you know, like inventor kind of stuff. Like you could really go over there and make stuff and create a whole entrepreneurial lifestyle for yourself.
Yeah, so we partner with Ives Squared, and they send a lot of people to us because we have more capabilities. So it's worth, mentioning our mission really is about helping early entrepreneurs develop their ideas and inventions and products. It's about supporting artists and having them get an experience with all different types of technology so they can enhance themselves, and helping people build skills that are, great for their self-enrichment, but also for being able to improve their career and find new options.
Wow. All right. So tell me a little bit about some of the things y'all do over there, Jay Johnson. Like what if I go over to Makehaven right now, what would I see?
Well, normally you would see someone just waiting to open the door for you, greet you in, and ask you what you're interested in so that they can get you to one of myriad workspaces to really get your creativity from your mind into something you can make. And there are so many spaces, whether it's the wood shop or the metal shop, or maybe you want to sew a garment, whatever you really want to do to get it out of your mind and into the world. And that's really, I think, the crux of what makes Makehaven so beautiful, is that it's about taking your creativity and manifesting it in a way that most people can't even comprehend without thinking about a sci-fi movie.
You know? Wow. All right, so where are y'all located? Tell people where you're located. And then talk about the physical space. Because in my mind, and I think to people who are listening, this has to be a big space. Like, if I want to go make stuff, it can't be a little cubicle. It's got to be a big space. Talk to me about where you all are.
Yeah, so we're at 770 Chapel Street, right downtown New Haven. A lot of people, we're across from Elm City Market. That's a spot people recognize. And we are kind of in a lower level of a building where rent is a bit cheaper, but we are big. So we have like 10,000 square feet. So we got the whole base. Yeah. And when people come to visit us, one of the things that they come in, they're like, I had no idea you had so much down here. It's almost universal. And you know, as you come in, we have a big room with a whole bunch of equipment related to textiles. And we have all sorts of machines. We have heavy duty sewing machines. We have sergers. We have an embroidery machine. And then you get into digital fabrication and electronics. And as Jay had mentioned, we have a full wood shop with machines called CNC machines, which are computer numeric control. So you can use a computer to cut out, say, a sign, for example, is a great starter project where you cut out, you know, the house numbers or a name.
Wow.
Then you can do any design you want, in addition to all of the manual tools that, you know, many people are more familiar with. And then when you get into the metal shop, you have really advanced stuff. So we have a very cool tool that people can look up online, which is a water jet cutter. There's a bunch of videos. It's essentially, it's a stream of extreme water with a little bit of abrasive in it, and it will cut through anything. And so there's a whole bunch of videos online of people cutting through ridiculous things. And we have one of those machines, which is great. And it really opens up possibilities for inventors. People can't make things necessarily in their garage. They can prototype, but then they can take it to the next level of prototyping at Makehaven.
So how do I come over there? Like, is it membership driven? Is there fees? Can I take a class? Is there introductory process? Like, how does this all work? How do you get people in the door?
Yeah, absolutely. So we are a nonprofit community member-based organization. We have 400 members.
Wow.
And and those members can come 24/7. So they can come in and use the facilities as long as they have their electronic access card and they've gone through safety orientation. The payment, the membership fee is $50 per month, although we do have income-based scale. So we have a scholarship fund, and where folks have financial limitations, we have a process to be able to change that and to make sure that really everyone has access to the space and the community.
Are there age requirements?
You have to be 18 years or older. Okay. To be able to get the access, although you as a someone can attend if they're below that age with the attention of their guardian. So a lot of parents will bring in their kids and do some 3D printing and some other projects, but we really are geared as a adult space to do these sorts of projects.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Jay, what do you do over there?
So that's a great question. I'm glad you asked. You're from this area, and so that stated, I want to share something that we're working on that's new. Typically, we have a history of bringing fabrication to the world. Again, wood, metal, culinary, the kitchen, whatnot. Now, what we're kind of venturing in is trying to resolve the issue of how there's no real music creation that's not in a studio that you have to book time in. And we feel as though if it's in the mind and we want to manifest it and people want to put it out there, that it should be accessible. And this shouldn't just be wood or metal. So we want to allow people to start a conversation with us to see if we can start bringing audio in general, but also songwriting, music production into that big void between New York and Boston, where there's really just a lot of people are trying to find a way to get into the space to create and collaborate without having to have this huge fiscal attaché to be burdened with. So that's a huge huge new pathway for us.
That's kind of interesting. Talk a little bit more about that. So you mean like if I'm a budding rapper and I need a place to do my rap stuff and create an EMP and all that kind of stuff. Is that what you mean? Or
that is precisely what I mean. Oh. Whether you are a rapper, maybe you're into spoken word. A song means a lot of things to a lot of people. And a lot of things that I've seen coming across it is that people have preconceived notions about what it has to be. And a big part of the educational portion is having people understand it's about the expression of who you are, what's on your mind, getting it out there. Audio doesn't have to be a specific defined thing. It has to mean something to you. And as long as it's not generally offensive to anyone else, you're gonna get our support. And we're gonna try to work toward building our platform on this around the community. So it's community driven. And so again, super excited about it. We're just starting the discussions on it. And we're really hoping that the coming meetup, which we have posted on our meetup site on meetup for February, JR, do you recall when it is?
I don't have it at hand, Jay.
That's okay. But anyway, we have that posted and...
But y'all have a website. It'll be up on your website. Absolutely. I think it's what, makehaven.org, right?
Yeah, makehaven.org. And that's where all of our events are posted. And we have meetups about different areas of interest. Like Jay is excited and working on developing a music community. But we've done meetups and things around woodworking and metalworking, all kinds of things. But if you look under events, it has that as well as classes, which are paid classes, which are for non-members as well, who just want to get an
So if I wanted to take a class in how to cut something with water.
Yeah. Well, one that's been very popular is tufting. Are you familiar with what tufting is?
Yes. That's like an upholstery kind of thing, right? Like,
yeah, it looks like a machine gun. And you hold it up against a thing of fabric and it shoots yarn into that fabric and you make essentially a carpet.
This sounds like a YouTube video in the making.
Oh, it's really cool. People love it. So we've done a bunch of classes about tufting. That's been very popular.
Okay, here's your page.
And, oh, yeah, if you scroll down, I think there are some classes on tufting coming up on events.
Wow. All right, so, JR, tell me, what's the most interesting thing that you've seen?
There's the water jet, by the way.
Wow. So wait, before I ask that question.
Yeah.
How do you get all of this equipment? Do you go and buy this stuff, or because how do you get this stuff?
Sure. So the
and how do you get people to teach it? Like, how do you find out? Because I know you're not teaching all these classes.
No, so the way that we've gotten has been a variety of ways. When we first started, it was people bringing stuff from their basement and donations of equipment. As we grew, we started doing fundraisers from the membership where they would raise money to get the tools. And then as we got bigger, we've been able to access some grants. And we received significant funding over the past several years for expansion from the New Haven Innovation Collaborative. And they have really enabled us to get a bunch of equipment. And that's brought us to the next level. As far as teaching the classes, we hire instructors, and we are always looking for instructors to teach classes. So please reach out to us if you have a craft that you like to teach. And the regular day-to-day teaching. So when people join, there is no cost to learning all the equipment, and there's no experience required. And the only way that we can do that is that we have 30 different volunteers that have a weekly commitment to being there in an area that they love and teaching about how to use the table saw, how to get started on the sewing machine, how to use the various printmaking pieces of equipment. And so it's due to those volunteers that we're able to do so much, and due to the funders that we're able to have so much great equipment to work with.
I see you can donate by cryptocurrency. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, well,
we've come.
Yeah, we try and be on the front guard of that. I think we have so far one crypto donor, and it was mostly an experiment. But we try and, you know, being a place that likes innovation and technology, try and do new things.
I love it. Go ahead.
Yeah, one new thing we do have coming up is there's a new initiative we're just launching based on some funding we got from Stanley Black & Decker. They have a maker initiative. So we were awarded to be able to bring a cohort or a group of cohorts in as new members or existing members and get some coaching. So being coached through going through and setting goals in different areas, particularly around job relevant skill building. And we are going to be hiring a coach for that. So we're looking for folks who want to be a coach, helping people move forward in their career. And we're looking for people who want to advance themselves. So right now that's makehaven.com/GEMS, GEMS. I'm going to put a link on the front page as well after this. But that's another initiative that as we've grown, we've been able to find support to help people use these tools.
So what is the bigger goal? I mean, what is the dream for this, for Makehaven?
Yeah, the dream I think there's a lot of dreams. You know, we're a community of people who are coming together around making things. And, you know, Jay described his passion around making music. Other people have equal passions around other things. And I think it's to empower those passions. And a lot of times people's barrier to entry is equipment or it's community. And we try and bring both to the table so people can express themselves creatively, whether that is being an entrepreneur, creating a piece of art, or just creating something that's really satisfying themselves as far as, you know, using a lathe to make the bowl and make it a gift, mm-hmm. something that's just a craft.
So do you find people that come in there like, you know, I don't really know what my passion is? Like, Jay, do you see people come in as like, you know what? But I feel like I want to make something, but I don't know. Is there room for people to sort of try on things to see if they feel an affinity for it or like, oh, this is my thing right here?
Yeah, all the time people come in and they're like, I'm so excited about this place and I just don't know where to start. And I tell them just come in and, you know, find something that you think is interesting. If you feel intimidated, maybe something you've done before, you've been introduced to. So if you've already been sewing, come in and meet with the sewing person and just get your foot in the door and kind of learn the process. If you're more adventurous, you jump in on some of the woodworking tools. Figure out what's right for you. And once you get started, there is a community and you'll notice somebody next to you is building a table or they're sewing a sweater or they're doing something that is inspiring in some way that you haven't thought of. And then there's a conversation that happens. You have a friend. Now you can start to expand from a place of where you're comfortable into a place that's new.
I like that. So people can become members. They can access the space anytime they feel like it. You have 400 members. Is there a magic number that you wish to go to? Like, is 600 members, 1,000? Like, what happens if you get to 1,000 members? Like, what happens?
So we watch when we are, like, how busy we are and if there's a line for tools. And generally, because people come at all different times, we're not at capacity for the facility yet. And I would say that looking at, you know, it's a mixture of what can the community support? Well, clearly more people are joining, so it can be more. We want to be financially sufficient without grant funding on our members so that that is a long-term strategy for our survival as a nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And when you start looking at that, well, 600 seems to be a safe number to reach where you have the capacity of the organization is going to be fine and will be financially in a good place. So I think we'll grow from 400 to 600 maybe over the next couple of years if things go well, and I hope they do.
So, I mean, is this a really big leap from United Way? I mean, it's nonprofit, but is it a big leap?
Well, you know, at United Way, I was an employee. I was doing fundraising and I was doing computer work. It was great. I had a wonderful time there. But I was on the side working on Make Haven as a volunteer, and then that grew, and now I'm the director. And so, you know, for me personally, there's employees and many volunteers, and so it was a big leap for me as far as responsibility. And it was something that grew organically from people around me. And so it feels like a big leap, or it feels like an evolution, I would say.
Okay.
It's happened over time. Yeah.
Okay. And so Jay, what brings you? Like, is this a leap from what you were doing? Like, what is it about Make Haven that excites you and gets you up in the morning?
So for me, it's a matter of bringing people the opportunity to become, to allow people to kind of meet their own potential and find a way to raise their own bar. Let me give an example, if I may. So being raised in the South as a Black male, there were certain expectations that you were going to do X, Y, Z. I grew up, I played ball, da, 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 da. But my time in the Army and moving around gave me a different perspective on a number of things. And where I find culturally, there are some shortcomings which our people have a propensity toward, like building things by hand. Like a lot of people where I'm from, we just want to buy it and just be done with it. But with an endemic, there's a lot going on. People don't have the finances they used to have. With so much, you know, with Black Lives Matter, it really opened up the gateway to seeing, hey, look, we're not representative of the community in New Haven. And there are a lot of things that are happening where people don't have access to really leverage their funds, their tools, and people don't know how to do it. And so we had a great set of discussions about how we can be more representative, because we are, our demographic is highly Caucasian, which is not representative of New Haven, which isn't targeted to be good or bad. It just so happens to be. And what we're trying to do right now is outreach to pull more people in so that people within the local community can see what we offer, so that they can ask questions and work on things that they want to do. I would love to have a conversation with Senator Winfield and Representative McGee.
Well, Senator Winfield's my neighbor, so I'll make sure he calls you.
Absolutely, that'd be great. It'd be great to have the Board of Alders on to discuss what can happen with the potential for new Make Haven within the community to make Haven better, to allow people to become more, if that's what they want. And so that personally excites me.
I like it. So JR, to piggyback on that, how do you outreach to the community? How do you get out there and say, come and be a part of this?
Yeah. Well, we get invited to radio shows. That's one. The number, we do a survey as people come in and become members. And the number one way by far that people come to us is word of mouth. Mm. And that's normally members talking to other folks. So I think the strongest thing we can do is tell our members to reach out to a variety of people from different backgrounds, you know, use their networks. But that's also a limiter. So we wanted to like reach out to more people. This summer, we went out and actually did door knocking and hung little hangers in Fairhaven and New Hallville, trying to add in awareness in communities where we thought maybe just that social network may not have as many connections. Mm-hmm. And we advertise online. We do lots of events, hoping events bring people in. But it has mostly been word of mouth.
Okay. And so do you think about what else can we offer? I mean, are you always thinking about what else can we offer? Like, I don't know. I mean, you offer, like I saw the knife making thing. I was like, ooh, I mean, I'm a chef by trade. So that would be interesting to me on some level. But do you think about all the other kinds of things that people might be interested in that, you know, we should offer bookbinding or something, or how to make puzzles or something? I don't know. Yeah. Do you have those conversations?
Yeah, we have those conversations. And I think, so bookbinding, for example, I know Creative Arts Workshop has a wonderful facility
yes.
for that. And so I don't think that would be our first, effort to duplicate. We do have overlap with a lot of other organizations, but often we're focused on giving people the continual access so that they can independently work on something.
Okay.
And we're always trying to figure out what tools to add, but also make it manageable. Okay. So we love the idea. So Fab Labs, this idea of a fabrication lab is where it came from. And one of the sayings that came from that is the ability to make almost anything. And when we think about what we should add, it's like, well, does that add a new capability? Is it just a convenience, or does this open up a new avenue to invent or create something that you just wouldn't have the ability to do otherwise? And so when we add something, it's often about adding a new capability to fill our portfolio. Also trying to think about how we work as a community together. As nonprofits, our combined goal is to give more access in more ways. Mm-hmm. And we really do that as a team of nonprofits.
So talk to me about partnerships. Like, if somebody's over there in Makehaven and they're churning out, I don't know, cool tables, and they're like, you know what? I'm really good at this. I like to sell this. Is there some pathway for them to be entrepreneurial in the second part of their effort?
Yeah. So we have some volunteers. We have one volunteer in particular that's associated with SCORE at the SBA.
Oh, okay. Okay.
There to help businesses. The library has a bunch of resources. There's some incubation programs like CoLab. And so when we see someone that is starting to move, so we get a lot of folks that maybe start selling at a crafts fair or something like that. When we see that they're getting to the point where maybe they're going to need to step up their production beyond what you can do in a shared hobby and prototype oriented space, we would assist them, trying to connect them to the various resources that are out there so that they could get their own place, get their own tools, become an independent entity selling their product and becoming a successful business.
Do you have co-working space too? Like, can people...
Yeah, absolutely.
Working on a project, I can't imagine people are like, I'm going to take my project home, then I'm going to bring it back and work on it, right? Like,
yeah, so we have storage in the back that people can rent. We also rent little desks for startups. So there's desks, and then we have what we call workspaces, which are just, it's more like a few desks together with mm-hmm. more space for storage and putting things aside. The vast majority of our members don't utilize that, but it does tend to attract folks that are interested in some sort of startup product, and they want a place to land so that they can come back and forth between the product and their desk.
Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. All right. So you're open every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And people can take membership, have access, and be there every single day if they want.
That's absolutely correct. Yep.
And so talk a little bit about that model. Why does that make sense?
Yeah. So it was, a lot of people doubted that it would work at the beginning, because we are giving people a huge amount of access.
But that's a lot of trust. That's a big trust.
It's a lot of trust. But we have systems in place. So we bring people in through an orientation where each person has met with us and walked through the space. People give us their IDs, so we know absolutely who they are, and we have electronic access control. So they have a card, we know when they're signing in, and we have, cameras on site so that we can verify if there's a problem. So with those tools in place, we're able to give people access to come in whenever they want. And in part because there's a community of people that cares about it, we all keep each other taking care of the tools, taking care of the space. And we have clear rules about there are certain tools you cannot use when you're alone. And there are certain tools that you actually have to sign into with your electronic card only after you've had the training, so that we know that people aren't jumping onto a tool like a table saw without the appropriate orientation, without the appropriate buddy system of there being someone to help you if the worst happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so how many people y'all have on staff, like paid staff?
Yeah. So we have 4 full-time staff. And then the classes are generally taught by people that we hire as contractors, you know, as needed.
Wow. I love it. 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 All right. So tell me, what's the most interesting thing you've seen created?
How do you pick your favorite child?
oh, if you're a parent, you can.
Yeah, you can. I mean, there's things that have inspired me in every different area. So there's a really crazy machine called a knitting machine. And I've seen people make amazing patterns by the arrangement of various needles. And that's just kind of boggles my mind. I've seen people who have made prototypes of what would be the idea for a colony on Mars, enter a contest,
okay,
and win some money to have that. We've had other folks that developed an idea for a robotic system to install insulation on a house. And, you know, there's those ideas.
Wow.
I've seen many people make beautiful works of art on the lathe, which, it, you know, it spins a piece of wood and then you carve it down to make bowls and plates. And I've seen amazing things that way. So there's been just an incredible range. And sometimes somebody who has no background in making something makes something that might be relatively simple to someone else. Say they 3D print a character, and that's important to them. And, you know, for them, that's the most important, most amazing thing. So I think that there's a big variety, and I think it's different for every person.
Jay?
Oh, wow. You know, I honestly love the vehicles. They've been doing, when I got in around 2013, they were already doing drones. And drones have been around, but people weren't making them themselves. Like, you had to go to the store to get that.
Oh, you got people making drones?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had to bring that up. People that make, that has been over 10 years or stuff. Like, they started out with that. That was like, oh, how can we just start out easy? You know, let's make some drones. So that's the speed they work at. And there's so much collaboration. Honestly, for me, what is the most beautiful and most exciting part is how organic it is. It's not one activity or one project. It's how it grows and more people interact to create these hybrids of like, oh, okay, well, I see how these textiles, like this sewn fabric, can now have electronics sewn into it, and there's these lights flashing and a shirt. And yeah, that's the thing. It's not even new.
What are y'all doing over there?
You need to come on over here. Bring some friends.
I am. Yeah. So talk to me about do you see many women in these spaces?
Yes. Honestly, I don't even know if it's about the same percent. What do those numbers look like, JR?
Yeah, so we are about 65% male, I think, is my recollection of the number. So we are skewed a little bit that way, but that has been growing over time. When we started, it was very male, and we've been diversifying over time, both with the gender and the different backgrounds that, you know, ethnicities that people have has been increasing over time. We're not where we need to be, but...
But you're seeing more people come through the door.
Yeah, more people come through the door, more people join. And then, of course, that creates networks. And I think also it create when you come in and there's lots of different people, you know, ages, genders, ethnicities, that sends a signal that it's okay. And I think we're at a point where when you come in, you are very likely to see people of all different backgrounds. And, I'm proud and happy about that. And, you know, still recognize that to be fully representative, we need to go further. But there's definitely, you walk in and you see enthusiasts from every walk of life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so do you all have a marketing component to what people make? Like, is there a gallery of things that people have made? And, you know, is it on display somewhere or...
There's not a physical gallery, but we have an Instagram account, which we
often post. Oh, I did not know that.
Very cool things. Yeah. A Facebook account. And then we have our own internal system. We will post, a lot of folks will post internally to the community. Here's this cool thing I made. And so we kind of champion each other. There's an internal dialogue about what's neat, what people have made.
This is such an exciting conversation. So as we wrap up this conversation, though, I want you to tell me one thing that you want people to know about Make Haven and why they should be interested in coming over there.
Yeah, I think if I were to say the one thing is that there is something that you can make, no matter what your experience is.
You said that with such confidence.
Yeah, to have confidence. I think there are a lot of people who maybe didn't grow up with the guidance, mentorship, or experience around using their hands, using your creativity to make something. And we, if you come in, there is a simple project to get started where you can take that as a first foothold to make the next step and the next step and build whatever you imagine.
I like that. Jay, you want to say something to me? Not to give you the last word, but to give you the last word.
Honestly, for me, I think the most exciting part is evolution of self. And coming from the backgrounds I did, especially in the military, there just wasn't a lot of education in certain things. Like I've had the opportunity to learn about pronouns and people's identities. And not that I've had biases against them. It's just I didn't know about them. And so this space is a very inclusive place for people to learn about people and humanity in general. And speaking of inclusion, I would be remiss not to let my fellow veterans know that if you come in, maybe we can do something about that prize for you. There may be a scholarship for you. There, you know, you may want to just step into the space. So just give us a little, drop us a line and come on in here and play with our tools a bit.
I see. Y'all are a good team. I love it. I love the way that there's this outreach community with a very humanity component to it. And do y'all have any events coming up that you want to tout before we go?
I think that the ones on the list, we don't have a big event that's coming to mind at this moment.
Okay.
I would say that just go to makehaven.com/events, and we're always adding something new. And I hope to see folks. Many of those events are free and online. And as we go further in the pandemic or past the pandemic, we'll host meetups and just open events at Make Haven again. And I look forward to seeing folks there.
Well, thank you so much, J.R. Logan and Jay Johnson. I so appreciate the opportunity to talk to y'all. I am such a fan of Make Haven. I took a sewing class with Catherine last year, but I wasn't well enough to continue. But she was an extraordinary teacher, and I just love her. And so I do want to come and make something because I miss creating things with my hands. I don't know what, but I'm going to make my way. And I'm going to bring my friends, too. Trust me.
Wonderful.
Thank y'all so much.
Thank you
for the opportunity.
I want you to come back when you have more, when you have other things that you want to talk about and other things you want to shout out to people. Come back.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
You as well. Take care.
Right. Take good care. Okay, Harry, play us out. Thank you very much. I'll see y'all. Tomorrow, Dr. Churchwell, president of Yale Hospital, will be my guest tomorrow. We're going to, have a little MLK reflection. I'll see y'all. Have a good day.